Matt Moscona, who is Mr. LSU. He is all over the state of Louisiana, of course, right there for ESPN Radio, syndicated all over the state. I think you can obviously hear him on 104.5. Is it the Zone, Matt, there in Baton Rouge?
Just 104.5 ESPN. 104.5, so no creative zone or fan or team or anything like that. Just 104.5 ESPN.
Yeah, the Zone, that one, that's the one in Nashville. That's my bad. But All right, let's get into this weekend. Well, actually, I guess Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with a lot of these series starting on Thursday between Vanderbilt and LSU. I think Vanderbilt, number 7 in the country, according to D1 Baseball. I think I saw LSU at 18. And, you know, it's interesting. LSU coming off a national title, struggling a little bit here. I think I saw 2-7 in the SEC so far. What have you seen from this team? Obviously, coming in, you thought about the starting pitching and, man, you get a guy like Gage Jump from UCLA and you still got Thatcher Hurd and you still got some horses there, but it feels like the bullpen has hurt this team a little bit. What have you seen specifically from those bullpen issues? Because it doesn't seem like offense is much of an issue unless you, I mean, because you're the guy that could disagree with that though.
Yeah, no, this team's hitting .289 and offense is a gigantic issue. Okay. We knew coming into the season that, look, LSU lost 7 everyday regulars from a year ago, including Dylan Cruz, who was obviously arguably the best position player this program's ever had. Stalwarts like Trey Morgan, Jordan Thompson, guys that people around the fans around this league have gotten to know over the last 3 years. They lost 85 homers from last year's team. So we all knew coming into this year that the offense was going to be a process, figuring out what the everyday lineup was going to look like. But they had so many arms, and they were going to lead with pitching. Luke Holman comes in from Alabama. You mentioned Gage Jump coming in from UCLA, Thatcher Hurd coming back. LSU signed the number 1 class in the country. I mean, Cam Johnson is the highest-rated recruit ever to show up on campus. He's a lefty who's throwing 96, 98, who's got a horizontal break that would be top 10 in Major League Baseball right now. So they have depth and arms and talent. It has just not come together. The pitching in the pre-conference was fantastic. Once they hit SEC play, some of maybe the inexperience has gotten exposed, and the offense hasn't caught up. So Jay Johnson, it kind of looks like whack-a-mole, man, where he's just trying everything, hitting every button he can find to try to find an offensive combination that's going to produce for this team. But, man, they just haven't been able to finish. You know, Billy, they've been in, you know, with the exception of one game against Florida, the game 3 where they got run ruled, they've been in every game. And they just have not been able to finish these games. Either the timely hit, the big pitch, it has just eluded this team. They just have not figured out how to win yet.
You know, it's interesting. After a national title, we've seen this from other SEC schools, whether it's Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that next season they really struggle. And it doesn't happen with every team. I think Vanderbilt's a program where that hasn't happened. So it's not like LSU is bound to miss the tournament this year and you know, just be awful. But so far, what has this told you about this team? I mean, are you sitting here saying this team may be at risk of not hosting a regional? Or are you past that point of maybe this team could be a 2 or a 3 seed? Like how much has what has happened so far changed, you know, your view of this LSU team?
Well, it's a really good question. I think there's two sides of the coin, whether you want to take the positive or the negative outlook. So you're 2-7. So undeniably, some of your goals are slipping away. Like this team isn't going to win the SEC. This team isn't going to be a national seed. They would have to go on some uncanny run, right? I mean, at 2-7, like if we all look, Billy, at like 20-10 is kind of that benchmark, right? You get to 20-10 in the league, you're almost a lock to be a national seed. Well, this team ain't only losing 3 games the rest of the way, right? So you could probably like X that one off. So what is salvageable? I think, you know, you could look at, you know, the teams you mentioned, you know, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Those were two teams, you know, Ole Miss was lucky to get into the field. They got hot. won the national championship. Mississippi State, 3 years ago, it was similar. They were a team that really struggled, and they got hot late in the season and went on and won the national championship, as we all know. So maybe the best example, though, is Tennessee from last year. 2 years ago, Tennessee had arguably the best regular season ever. And we all know they lost their super regional and all. I'm not throwing shade, but it's just an illustration. But they come back last year after that phenomenal team. They lost a ton of talent off that team. And they started 5-10 in the league and finished 16-14. So when you look at LSU, look at who they've played. They opened up with Mississippi State, who I think is better than we thought. They played Florida, and they were on the road at Arkansas. Now they get Vanderbilt, and then they're at Tennessee. The first half of the schedule we all knew was going to be brutal, but the second half lightens up. So I think the thought is, if you could get to the halfway point at that 5-10 or 6-9 mark, this team can go on a run in the second half and find a way, like Tennessee did a year ago, to maybe 16 conference wins. I think that's doable if they find themselves, right? Not a big if right now, because this is a team that, you know, after you get swept at Arkansas, you would think the competitive fire would burn and you'd come home against Southern and take out some frustration. And the exact opposite happened, Billy. I mean, they laid down. That's only the fourth time in program history that LSU's lost to Southern. The all-time series is 59-4 now. Wow. And it wasn't like it was a close, flukish type thing. I mean, they laid down against a much lesser team, and that's the concerning part, where you go, I know this team has talent. Is their desire to win really burning white hot right now? And I don't know that it is. And that's maybe a bigger issue that Jay Johnson has to deal with.
Yeah, we're going to see, starting Thursday night, big spotlight on the box this weekend with LSU and Vanderbilt. ESPN2 on Thursday night, SEC Network Friday, and then SEC Network Plus on Saturday. How big is this weekend for LSU? And you know, timing-wise, do you expect to see an LSU team with fire, some anger, and some passion? Or, you know, does this slide continue? I guess kind of what's your outlook for this series and maybe how they match up with Vanderbilt? And we'll kind of get more into that matchup.
Well, I don't know if the slide continues, but they desperately need to win a series. They've lost their first three weekends, and it's incredible how close this thing was to turning. You know, they were really disappointed the opening weekend against Mississippi State. They came home against Florida, and on that Friday night played their best game of the season. Luke Holman was dominant for six innings. Griffin Herring finished it off. The LSU offense was timely, and they beat Florida 6-1. And then in game two of that series, Billy, LSU was leading, going with two outs in the eighth inning. Nate Ackenhausen gets a strikeout. He spikes a 57-foot breaking ball, gets the strikeout. Well, it just bounces away from the catcher, and a run ends up scoring from third, and LSU loses that game in extras. I mean, you're out of the inning, and you're going to go to the ninth, three outs away from winning the series. I mean, and then you got run ruled on Sunday. How dramatically different the whole feel around this team would be. You know, I know Jay Johnson despises losing. He's that kind of like Nick Saban type. And I don't use that term lightly, but he is a lot like Nick in that he is maniacal in his details and his process. And just remember, Nick won a national championship 1 year, and on the post-game podium, when he's like holding the trophy, confetti falling, he's complaining that he's now 2 weeks behind in recruiting. You know, like that's the kind of maniacal focus and attention that Jay has. So this has to be driving him nuts. But just functionally, man, Billy, if you've lost your first three weekends, you get swept at Arkansas, then you lose at home to Southern. If you don't bounce back this weekend, you really legitimately have to wonder, like, is that turnaround coming for this team? Because you're at home, you're going to have a great crowd, it's a major opponent coming in. Like, you got to be focused and locked in and go find a way to win two games on your home field this weekend. If they don't, next week you're at Tennessee, and I think, you know, that could bury LSU in a hole that they may not climb out of.
All right, last one here for you. With Vanderbilt and LSU, I feels like Corbin, and you're so used to talking about Corbin and Maneri, right? Those two going. I felt like they had some really good battles, whether it was in Hoover at the SEC tournament or down at LSU or in Nashville. Vanderbilt this season, they're a different type of team than a lot of other SEC teams. Offensively, they're not the, you know, they don't have 50 home runs, 60 home runs, but pitching-wise, they will hold up their end of the bargain. But to me, it feels like this weekend, and I talked about this with somebody else, Vanderbilt's bullpen has been leaky, similar to LSU's. So to me, Matt, I think you could see some high-scoring, late-inning type games here where you get your starter out, specifically with LSU. And if you're LSU, I think both teams would rather have Holman go 7-8 at least. You know, I mean, if you can get a, if you could get a, you know, nine innings from either your starter, if you're LSU, I think that'd be beneficial. And if you're Vanderbilt as well. So pitching wise, what do you think LSU does? Because I did see Thatcher Hurd was inserted into the game late against Southern, which I thought was interesting. So how does that affect this staff heading into this series as well?
Yeah, I think they were trying to get Thatcher some work. He ended up only pitching the 10th of game two against Arkansas. And they pitched off last weekend. Jay Johnson said it was because he wanted to keep Luke Holman and Gage Jump on their normal rest. To be very honest, they were trying to avoid Hagen Smith, and I get it. But it just didn't present an opportunity for Thatcher to pitch in a starting role as game three role. So he came out of the bullpen in game two and pitched the 10th. He took the loss, but quite honestly, it wasn't Thatcher's fault. He struck out the first batter and he got a slow tapper to short to the second batter. It went under Michael Braswell's glove, and that ended up being the game-winning run. So, and he should have been out of it. So I don't know what capacity they'll use Thatcher this weekend, but LSU's bullpen in this weekend against Arkansas, the pitching, save game three, the pitching wasn't the problem. You lost 4-2 in game one. And like we mentioned, you had an opportunity to win game three in the 10th inning or game two in the 10th inning. You lost that game 4-3 in 10 innings. So the pitching was good largely against Arkansas, and they found some arms they trust. Griffin Herring's been fantastic. The problem I look at this weekend is just what you said, Billy. Vanderbilt's starting pitching is fantastic, and LSU hasn't been able to hit. And so they may find themselves in these games where, just as you mentioned, you get into an eighth, ninth inning scenario in a 2-1, 3-2 type ball game, and can you find the timely hit? Can you make the big pitch, get the big out? That's the thing that's eluded this team so far. Again, they're LSU super talented. Like I don't know that that's ever going to be a problem at a place like LSU. They're going to have dudes. It's just this team, as it's compiled, they haven't figured out the exact, you know, the exact formula yet, and having the right guy up to make the big pitch or the big swing in late innings to win a game. It's, I know I'm way oversimplifying this, but it really is that. Like, it's going to come down to a situation in the eighth inning where LSU's got a runner on third base and less than two outs, and got to get that runner home. Can they do it? You know, last week against Arkansas, they were in a similar situation. They ground into a double play. No, it's perplexing because this is a program that's used to winning and used to having guys come up in those spots and deliver. And they just haven't found those guys to do it yet this year.
Two of the best programs going at it starting Thursday night. That'll be on ESPN2 and then SEC Network Friday. They'll also play on Saturday down there at the Box. Should be a great atmosphere. That's Matt Moscona, the host of After Further Review. You can hear him weekdays 3-6 p.m. on ESPN Baton Rouge, also all across the state of Louisiana. Matt, have fun this weekend. Not sure if you'll be there, but should be some fun baseball. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks, Billy.